Idleman Unplugged is part of the Edify Podcast Network.
I want to see your face pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Idleman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Idleman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of the podcast, Pastor Shane shares some of his thoughts regarding recent events surrounding pastoral resignations, abuses of leadership in the church, and critical race theory. We hope that you enjoy this segment of Idleman Unplugged.
A hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found.
All right, everyone, let's give this a shot. As you know, this is Idleman Unplugged. It means I can speak frankly and openly about some controversial issues out there. And what just hit the headlines today on Christian Headlines is the article entitled, John Piper's Successor is the Latest to Resign as Allegations of Abusive Leadership Mount at Bethlehem Baptist Church. So reading the article, I don't think it's actually the pastor who resigned, Jason Meyer. I don't think it's him being abusive. I think it's being under abusive elders. And it's hard when you come into a situation. Fortunately, at Westside Christian Fellowship, we are blessed to start from the ground up. So we have people there who were here from the get-go, of course, but also have been coming in to the church, being added to the church. It is a different scenario than someone coming into a church that's already established. It's almost like a pastor for hire, and their job is very, very difficult. Whereas with Westside Christian Fellowship, we've got like-minded elders and people. You know, if anyone says you've just got a lot of yes men on the board, I mean, you want to look at that for sure. Fortunately, we have a group of elders that are very good at sharpening iron and confronting and loving and talking and working things through. So, but anyway, let's talk about this whole topic of abusive leadership. That's becoming more and more prominent now, where you've had people like Mark Driscoll, who not retired, but stepped away and then opened up a church in Arizona, and so many other people. If we had a list here that could go down the list, Darren Patrick, I read his book on church planting, and then he took his life a few years ago. It was sad to hear that. And so we have to look at, okay, what in the world is going on? Well, let's just talk about this for a minute with the Mark Driscoll scenario. You know, he became a church planter, I believe, at 27, as Francis Chan became a church planter in his 20s. He doesn't have these types of allegations against him, of course. But, you know, with Mark, I just praise God I didn't plant a church at 27 or 32. I mean, God had to break me and humble me. And so what we're seeing is God calling people to leadership at a young age, maybe some of these fresh out of seminary. In other cases, I don't know Jason Meyer's story here at Bethlehem Baptist, but yeah, there's not a lot of life experience. And if you're gifted, God gifts you to be a pastor, you're going to be prideful and you're not going to be full of the Spirit. You're going to be full of the works of the flesh, and bullying comes along with that. Just domineering, forceful, you know, comes with that type A personality. And so God uses the early years of our life, the 20s, I believe, mainly the 20s, to break us and humble us. And sometimes into the 30s, how many of us have needed to learn into our 40s? And amen, we're all a work in progress until the day we die. But so that's what's happening in a lot of these cases. These guys are gifted and they are called of God, but their iron has not yet been sharpened. And there is some abuse, some bullying, and that's what's really was going on here at Bethlehem Baptist. If I read the article, it sounds like the elders, more so than the pastor, and other elders have resigned. Other pastors have resigned, which are technically elders. And so, long story short, well, here's what happens when it comes to pastoring. You either have bold, very bold pastors, like Mark Driscoll, some others out there, even myself, the type A personality. So with us, we've got to be, to the degree we are bold, that we have to match that same boldness with humility. And it's a work in progress. And one thing we have to realize is that we are not above falling in this area. We have to realize that our strength is also our weakness. So the type A strength, boldness, assertive, kind of in your face, has to be backed and underscored with tremendous love and grace. And that means and requires a lot of time spent in God's word, a lot of time humbling ourselves. And it's hard because we are challenged daily. And sometimes you might see the works of the flesh come out, anger, irritability, and that's to be expected, not allowed, but to be expected. And so, for example, this article, I would send it to my elders and say, hey, guys, just a heads up, you know, we got to obviously be very sensitive in this area. If you see anything in me that is coming out in this area, domineering, bullying, forceful, like controlling, and there's a click and all these things, you know, we need to address it. Office, I also let our office staff know, hey, if you see these things, let us know. We're not above reproach. We need to work on things as well. Now, with that said, in any church plant, because all of us are sinners, or any church, I should say, personalities are going to collide. So in a healthy church, you're going to have conflict. There's just no way around it. I've had conflict with people. People have had conflict with other members. Conflict exists in a healthy, growing church because we are not perfect. So the key is not having conflict, the key is how you handle the conflict. So let's say if a strong pastor is being strong and kind of, you know, it's funny when people say, well, they're controlling. Well, you do have to control the environment. You have to control the financial responsibility. You have to control the spiritual climate. You have to control what we allow, what we don't allow. So you have to be somewhat God has given you this incredible environment to steward, and we have to steward it. And when you steward things, you are controlling certain things. So that's just kind of funny when people say that. But of course, we've got to control this wonderful gift that God has given us. But you don't want to have a controlling spirit. You don't want to be domineering, but you want to be bold. You don't want to be forceful in the wrong way, but you want to be forceful in the right way. So it's hard to be bold and lead in the current culture, especially with the websites, and anybody can attack you. Anybody, you know, a disgruntled member could start a list of other disgruntled members, and there you go, you're being slammed. And there's just absolutely no way around it. But again, as long as you recognize, hey, yeah, I can tread in these dangerous waters. Lord, keep me humble, keep me broken, keep me apologetic, but not having a spirit of always apologizing, and then you become weak. But there's a difference between, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm this, and I can't lead, and I'm just Debbie Downer, and oh, woe is me, versus, hey, apologizing. When we need to apologize, you own it. Hey, my attitude wasn't right, I apologize, and you move on. But if that person still holds in this root of bitterness, and they have it out for you, there's just absolutely nothing you can do. So one way against this, though, is for pastors to let their elders know, hey, here's a blind spot, you know, keep me accountable. Let's have open transparency, not above people coming to you and lovingly talking to you about these blind areas. And then you stay broken, you stay humble in God's word, and from that can come a tremendous anointing. So it's just, there's just no way around it with bold pastors, and we need bold pastors today. The key is, as long as their boldness is matched by their humility, they'll be on very safe ground. They won't be above allegations, because anybody who's upset, who has a bone to pick, or is demonically inspired with fiery darts to pull someone down, you're gonna have people that are not your fan. Even if you just pastor a church, get used to it. But as long as your heart is right, your attitude is right, and it's not who you are, then it's not too hard to work through. So what's going on in a lot of these churches in Bethlehem is if the elders, the leaders in the church, are not men of prayer, men of humility, men of just contrite and broken spirits, and at the altar and worshiping God and getting their hearts right and being broken before Him, this is going to happen. Galatians, you read Galatians, you read other areas that the works of the flesh are evident, and they will drown out the works of the Spirit if we're quenching and grieving the Spirit of God. So now on to another point. I don't know if I should make this another podcast, and I might do that as well. And I don't know if I'm going to elaborate a little bit on this one and go into another one. But in this blog post, it mentions that some of the people, some of the elders on their vantage point, were upset because some of the pastors were going what they call woke. And woke, I mean, you know, it depends on how it's defined. Of course, you know, we have to wake up to the injustices that are going on in our culture. But you could say that about abortion. You could say that about the sex trafficking business. It's just, it's horrific. And we have to wake up. So it depends how the word is used. Obviously, the word in the negative sense, woke, the woke culture, means that we are embracing a lot of things that are not biblical. And for example, this whole issue of racial discrimination. Is there discrimination in our nation? Absolutely. Is there racism? Absolutely. But I would submit to you that it's on every side of the map. Every skin color deals with racism. So a lot of these pastors are being charged with being woke and embracing the critical race theory. In a nutshell, I'm going to be teaching on this when I go through the books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. But it's basically, at its simplest, most basic premise, is if you're white, that means you are an oppressor. So they're actually using racism against those of a different race. Your skin color, your pigmentation, it can never be joined together with your heart. In other words, well, if you're white, you're this. If you're black, you're this. If you're Hispanic, you're this. If you're Asian, you're this. It's just, that is actually from the pit of hell, because it's throwing race. It's actually fueling racism. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked, and that without Christ, all manner of evil will come up. Racism, debauchery, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, homosexuality, everything on the map will come up. So it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. So critical race theory, I don't even know how it's being allowed in the schools and different things, says that you are white means that you have privilege, means that you are an oppressor. Now, with that said, has it been easier for certain groups of people to experience success? Well, of course, in any culture, in any country, that is the case. And I kind of laugh at that a little bit, because I come from a hard construction background, having to work my tail off, hands are blistered, and just worn out, scraping by and getting, earning the money I made. And nothing was handed to me on a white silver platter. I had to work for every dollar. Now, granted, it could have been easier because my dad had a construction company. And, you know, well, how far do we want to take this out? Because when God is in the equation, none of that matters. Status, recognition, financial situation, opportunities, none of that matters. If God is for you, no one is against you. So that's why we have to be careful saying, well, I've been held back, I've been held down, I haven't been given as many opportunities. That might be true, but when you commit your life to Christ and God is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He will open doors that no man can shut. He will shut doors that no man can open. So why are we getting our focus off of what God can do amazing things? So just because maybe the country doesn't give a person as many opportunities, with God, the sky's the limit. It doesn't mean you can get whatever you want. It means God will raise you up. God will put you in certain places. But we've also forgot about the fact that God calls us to sometimes a life of servitude and surrender and not being financially stable, and all of that, we still glorify Him. So this whole concept is really dangerous. And so some of these pastors, what's happening is a lot of these pastors are not spending a lot of time in God's Word. So because they're not spending a lot of time in God's Word, they're not humble, they're not broken, they're being led away by the culture. And they don't like being called a racist because of their skin color. Who does? So what they're doing is embracing a false narrative to hopefully ward off or push away some of these charges against them. Well, they need to understand, no matter what you do in this type of setting, you can't change your skin color. You have to just go back to what the Bible says. Now, America, what happens too is we don't do our proper research. We don't look at the founding of our nation, the Pilgrims. You can read of Plymouth Plantation. No slaves owned by the Pilgrims. They wanted to start a nation based on God's word. They ministered to the Native Americans, and then others would come in, other evil men, and they would bring slavery over from Great Britain, or they would suppress the Native Americans. And so evil men are doing things in the midst of good men, but only the evil is pointed out. Only the evils pointed out, not the good things, not the Christians who brought the sex, the slave trade to an end, not the Christians who are bringing the sex trade, hopefully, to an end, not the Christians who fought for and protected the rights of Native Americans, and not the Christians who brought the Salem witch trials to an end. They forget about all that, not the founding fathers who abhorred the practice of slavery. See, so what they do is they cherry pick certain things, and then it's actually about an agenda. So if America is bad, this foundation has been bad this whole time, well, then we need to redo the foundation. We need to question the Constitution. We need to remove the Bill of Rights. We need to take away all the freedom of speech, the freedom of press. And that's why they say it's close to Marxism and communism and all these things, because it is, and the direction it's going, it is. America is a free nation governed by men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, of course, in that there were some evil people, but we are given a republic, really not a democracy. We're given a republic, which means we vote and we put in people in positions of leadership who will direct us according to God's word. That was the initial plan. We have drifted so far off course, it's not funny. So in every generation, this evil will rise up. If you really want to fix racism, allow the Bible back in the prison and in the schools. Allow God's word to change the heart. Preach about heaven and the need for Christ and the need for redemption and turning from our sin and experience. That's why I always say revival is our only hope. Revival is our only hope. So I think that's what's happening. I could go on a lot with a lot of these woke pastors and critical race and embracing, like people are so confused. Well, really, when a vessel struck, what's inside spills out. So what you're seeing in many of these churches that are drifting is they weren't anchored strongly in the first place. So they're being blown around by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. They're worried about their reputation. They're worried about their image. They're worried about the church growth. And really, they don't understand that God grows a church when you honor his word. And so we can be very sensitive to what's going on in our culture racially. And I love when I see police officers coming to church and being saved and set free by the power of Christ. I love when felons released from prison are becoming to the church and being set free by the power of Christ. And so, see, it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. At our church, I will look up there and I will see correctional officers and felons at the altar. It's amazing. That is our only hope. So hope this little kind of nugget of truth helped, that we need to return to God's word. I kind of broke it up into two parts here. I kind of made it into two different topics, but it kind of flows together because you're seeing a lot of this upheaval at different churches throughout our nation. One is abusive leadership and the other is embracing critical race theory and the woke culture. Now, it's funny, I didn't talk about this at all, but on the other end of the spectrum, when you don't have bold pastors, you have cowardly pastors. These pastors are sheepish. They won't deal with any issues in their church. They just hope everything goes away. They just want to be Mr. Nice Guy. And so they're not going to have complaints leveled against them about being controlling or bullying or things like that. They're just going to have spirit-filled people who are hungry for more of God leaving their churches. And they're left confused and bewildered, wondering what is going on in my church. Well, it's because you don't have the boldness of the Spirit. And the boldness of the Spirit will offend people from time to time. The truth of God's word will offend, but our attitude should not. So until next time, this is Eidelman Unplugged, signing off.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, be sure to send us your ideas and topics for future episodes of the podcast. You can send us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org. or ShaneEidelman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Eidelman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Eidelman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at ShaneEidelman.com. Again, that's ShaneEidelman.com.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must-read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.